It is December the 20th. We're in the countdown to Christmas. And this has always been my favorite time of year, ever since I was a little girl. But, of course, it was for different reasons as I went through life. When I was a little bitty girl, it was all about Santa Claus and charting the route from the North Pole. And this is before we could do it electronically. So my parents would get out a map and show me where Santa Claus would stop and where he would go. And I would say, but how can one person do all of that? As I got a little bit older and I began to look at Christmas as the birthday of Christ, and I would still ask the same question. But how can he do all of that? How can he be everywhere with everybody all the time? Well, that's a big question we all have. You know, right now, I'm particularly missing some friends I haven't been with for quite a while and wondering, gee, it would be so nice to be with them. And I know that I am in spirit, but it would be nice to be with them in more than spirit. And I think, how can that happen? You know, what we're dealing with, all of my dear, dear, dear friends, is the closed-in box effect of living a third-dimensional life inside a three-dimensional structure. And it can give us a very limited, almost imprisoned feeling at times when we so deeply want to be somewhere else with our loved one and we want to so feel a hug or share a piece of pie or just a warm conversation. And here we are, and here they are. Well, one of the things that Yeshua lived his life to teach us is that we don't have to live this kind of limited perception about life or in our life. From the very beginning, he let the apostles know that he wouldn't always be with them physically. He would say things like, in my Father's house are other mansions. I will go there to prepare a place for you. Or something like, I have sheep in other pastures. I need to go and take care of them. So he was always letting them know that this place we live in, that we call home, is just a place of learning, a place we've come to perhaps, I would say most of all, learn to get to know ourselves. You know, it's so easy when I think back, and I do think back to this when I'm in my highest states of prayer and meditation. I think back to when I was in the heavenly grace of being able to be with anyone, anywhere, with God. In the oneness of God, we can feel our union with everyone else. But my friends, when I'm in that place of feeling that, I'm not down here struggling for a living, or wearing a cast on my leg, or dealing with an automobile that needs repairs, or with some disagreeable person that just wants to be argumentative no matter what. No, I'm not in that place, not when I'm feeling this level of love. And I think that's why he gave us the two and the only two commandments. We're to love another as ourself and to love God with all our heart. Now, I don't think he really meant for that to be enacted and fully achieved at this level of barriers, challenges, difficulties, and hardships. I really felt, you know, and I have to remind you now, the first commandment was to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That came before love one another. Because when we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, you know what that means? That means being in love with God. Not just worshiping God. Not just saying awesome, amazing words of praise and adoration to this heavenly, almighty being that created the universe but is now somewhere else. That's not what it means. It means being in love with God. It's a very different feeling. And before we look at the other part of the commandment, I just want to talk to you a little bit about being in love. Being in love is an extraordinary feeling. And I hope all of you have had a chance at least once in your life to feel and be in love. It may have been with your partner, the love of your life. It might be also the first time you held your baby children. Could have been a puppy or a kitty. It could have been the most extraordinary morning when you saw a sunrise that blew you away and you were in love with life. And it didn't matter what challenge came across your plate that day. You were in love with life. What is that feeling? Well, it's an extraordinary feeling of passion inside the Sacred Heart for the direction and the recipient of your love. It's really joining that recipient with your life, heart and soul. Heart and soul, you are that person. You are one with God. You are one with life, with the universe. That puppy has found its way into your heart. And it's not about how cute is that puppy in the window. Oh, no, no, no. It's way beyond that. Way, way, way. That puppy has now crawled inside your heart. And you know that for every day that puppy lives, you will do the very best you can for that little guy. And you know every day when you come home from work, you're going to be greeted with eyes of unconditional love. We do this for our kids. We do this for our friends. The friends we've really fallen in love with. And you see, that, to me, that's really what the commandment is about. It's about such intense faith that faith becomes a passion. The last week of Christ's life was called the Passion Week. And the whole week was dedicated toward him cultivating the passion he felt for all of humanity and for God and for his own life here on earth, for the apostles. Look at everything he did. Even people, I want to address the few people who criticize him and say, why did he get angry and turn over the tables in the temple for the moneylenders? Wouldn't that have changed his Holy Spirit? No. No. Because for him, holiness was not about going to some mountaintop, getting serene inside your meditation, going into bliss, and then just being in a state of bliss and letting the world go by. No, for him, it was about feeling your passion. And sometimes it's really, really important to say, I don't allow in my world people to abuse other people. It really, really hurts me. It really makes me mad. I don't like people desecrating God's temple. This is not acceptable, and it comes from the depths of his heart. He went to pray for cleansing, and Satan came to tempt him. But Lord, you could own the whole world with your passion, with your power. Feel the passion, feel the passion. And Yeshua just looked at him and said, go away. Basically, go away, you fool. Get behind me. I have no use for you. You missed the point. It's not about what I can do out there with my passion. It's about what I can do from in here with my passion. How will my passion in me, the God in me, the passion in me, the power in me, given by God, how can it change the world? When he hung on the cross, and the man beside him said, you do not belong here, my Lord. You are king. Yeshua felt the intimacy of that love. And I think it gets back unavoidably to this word intimacy, which is why so often we associate falling in love with romantic falling in love. But that doesn't have to be the only thing, the only way we feel intimacy. Have you ever watched a movie that took you to tears and touched your soul and you cried, you wept, and you became the spirit of that movie? There's nothing more intimate than that. A song that literally became part of your soul, that's intimate. All the ones you love, you take inside your soul. You love them as yourself. That's what it means. It means to be so passionate in your love that you can feel others as if you were them. It doesn't mean you let them take the keys to your house and run over you and ignore you and disregard you. This commandment is not about enabling someone to become as if they were you without respecting you. Throw that idea out. That is not a sacred idea. What I'm telling you is a sacred idea. It's where we become in love. And of all the seasons of the year, of all the times of the year, I would say that Christmas is the time when we fall in love all over again. Look at the creativity and expanse people go to just to celebrate this season of love. Look at how we make up lists for gifts. And sure, when we do the office exchange, it may not be something that we can think through with tenderness. But when we think of our best friend, our spouse, our sweetheart, or someone in a nursing home, or a child that is in a child care center. We feel there's a little girl I learned about. I truly want to send her a teddy bear, and I'm trying to find out where I can get an address for her. And just the thought of that and finding out a little more about her makes me, I'm in love with her. I mean, it's just like she was my daughter. I love her. I think of the little kids sitting on the laps of Santa Claus, and they know he's not real. But do you know what they do know is real at this season? Love, with a big capital L. Love is real. It may be that love is the only really real thing in the universe. Everything else is either some form, some display or revelation of truth, or it's some idea about reality that we've agreed upon, or we've been conditioned by, or we've come to assume is a reliable thing, like the sun coming up tomorrow, or that you stumble on a rock, it will probably hurt your toe. Something like that. We have all kinds of realities. And then, if our eyes are really, really open, we use innocent perception. We can also see the truth. We don't do that as much as we should. And I think a lot of the wars and the turmoils and conflicts and misunderstandings around the world would go away if we just looked for more truth. You see, it's inside realities that we cultivate the basis for disagreeing with other realities. Just like even, let's just play it safe and don't get way out of bounds on this. Let's just look at all the different realities inside of Christianity. And I've been there, I've seen them all. After I finished painting The Lamb and the Lion, I was having an afternoon conversation with Yeshua, and I said, "My Lord, I know you didn't do this for me to have this on my living room wall. What comes next?" And he said, "I'd like for you to give it to my people." Well, I was stunned. I was stumped. Me? Me? One little person? And he's got probably 5 or 6 billion people that love him. Maybe not all of them call him Lord, but respect him, yes. Understand his importance in the world, yes. And then of those who belong to some kind of religion written in his name, some will see him one way, some will see him another. There are paintings of him in every racial, facial type. And I thought, oh, you've really asked the impossible. What in the world? What in the world? How can I possibly ever do this? And he said, "You'll find a way." And of course, I could never bring myself to be sarcastic with this one I love so much. But somewhere kind of in my soul, I was thinking a little bit of sarcasm, like, yeah, this would be easy for you. But I didn't say those words. Instead, I just said, "Well, okay, I'll get started." Fortunately, that was right before Palm Sunday. And churches do a lot of celebration on Palm Sunday and Easter. So I went to the biggest church in Fort Worth. That's where I lived then. And I went to meet the pastor, and the pastor was an awfully nice guy. And I showed him the painting. I took the painting with me. I said, "I've got something to show you. I just finished this, and I really want to exhibit it where other people can enjoy it. Well, he was blown away. I told him the story, and we had it framed by then. And he said, well, sure you can. Bring it to the church. Bring it Thursday, and we'll set it on a – we'll hang it at the back of the church. And I thought, okay, that'll be fine. And he said, and you'll be here at church, right? And I said, oh, sure. Of course I'll be there. Well, I got there on Sunday morning, and I walked in kind of a back door where I could see what the painting looked like on the back wall, and it wasn't there. And I thought, oh, no, somebody's objected to it and prevented it already. And then I turned and looked around, and there it was, mounted behind the altar of the church. It was at the front of the church. And I went, oh, and a beautiful light was on it. It looked glorious. It took my breath away. And I just sat down in the front row and waited for church to start. I didn't even pick up a church bulletin until they started. And then when I did, I looked down there, and my name was on it as being a co-presenter of the sermon. Well, let me tell you, friends, talk about falling through a chair. If anybody could fall through a chair, I think there must be a hole permanently burned in that chair. I think I wanted to crawl under it, but I got the nerve to go up front when they called me. And all I could think to do is just say, he loves you. I just wanted to tell you on this special Sunday that he loves you. He loved me enough to come and ask me to paint his portrait. And I hope I did it justice, because I did the best I could. And if there's anything I didn't do well enough, I'm really, really sorry. But I did my best, and I hope you love it. Well, the audience melted, and they surrounded me, and they surrounded the painting. And from that time on, my friends, all I had to do was take the painting out. I went to not every denomination. I'm sure there's more, but I went to over 100 different denominations. They all welcomed me. But it wasn't about, I didn't have to conform to their belief. Because you know what? In his presence, they didn't care. He was so much bigger than all their beliefs. They didn't care. He's all they cared about. And all I had to do was remind them that he was love, that he loved them, and for them to love him, even if they don't always do their best, even if they're sorry because they didn't do everything they could, it's okay. He understands. He knows we're all human. We never all live up to the highest we would want to be or achieve. But the point is, when we love him, we're more able to love that presence of God within ourselves. See, here's the deal. There is a presence of God within you. This is what it means in the book of Genesis, that you were created in the image of God. But we can't see that. We don't feel it. You know why? Because too often we fall short. And then even in the times when we still try to do our best, we've got this little sense of self-unworthiness, self-deprecation. Well, gee, I can't look at that. I'm not worthy to be that. And why would God put a piece of himself in me? For heaven's sake, he couldn't possibly expect me to live up to those standards. Well, I'm telling you, my friends, that's exactly the way I felt when Yeshua told me to go out and take this painting to his people. It was like, You ask what of me? Look, I know I'm a good artist, but that? I'm not up to that. You know me better than that. And he said, yes, Glenda, I do know you better than that. I know you better than you know yourself. Now, just climb up the ladder and do what you know how to do. And you'll find out how high you can climb up that ladder. So, in this Christmas season, everyone, let's see. Let's take the challenge. Let's see how high we can climb up the ladder. Let's love him with all our heart. And as we do that, we find a spark of God within ourselves. And then we climb up the ladder a little further, and a little further, and a little further. Now, from that level, it's very easy to look around the world and say, oh, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing when they make all these mistakes. And if they really knew who they were, they wouldn't do it. They would climb out of what they're doing. They would be all they could be. I hold them in my heart, my prayer, and my love. And bless upon this earth, O Lord, the love and the miracle of Christmas. Let us be in a true Christmas spirit, where we simply follow the two last and only commandments of Christ. To love God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. And allow that to be the catalyst and the challenge. The redeeming grace that then allows you to see yourself in a higher, more miraculous way, where you're able to be, among others, as a source of love. Just being the love that you are. And you'd be surprised, my friends, how much a prayer offered in that spirit can be a Christmas present that changes someone's life. You may not think you're important to most of the people in this world, but you could be everything in this world to someone you pray for at that level of love. Yeshua was just one person, but he climbed the ladder high enough to be the presence of God on earth. And in that presence of God on earth, he changed the world. And we celebrate his birth. But not just on this day of December 25th. We celebrate his birth every day in the hearts of each one of us. And as I take you into the blessing today, I would love it. I would just love it if you would be in that place in yourself, where you are the love that you are, no matter what's happening to you or for you that may be a challenge you think you can't overcome, you will, and you will find a way from a higher state of being and love. For just this moment, in this next 3, 4, 5 minutes, actually it takes about 10 minutes altogether, I want to offer you your Christmas blessing from the heart and life of Christ. Blessing givers, please join me. I'm going to say a prayer to Yeshua, and then the rest of you, just be seated. Allow yourself to just melt in your chair and be at peace. Be the love that you are. Pray for everything you need and pray for the world. Pray for everyone that you would see in a better way of life. And ask in the name of the ever-rebirthing Christ child, who can be reborn every day in each one of us. Dear Yeshua, Son of God, Brother of Man, child in each one of us, being born again anew each day. Thank you for this day. May we see it as holy. May we see every day with you as holy. We ask that you be with us as we seek our personal reunion with our Creator. And we ask that you use us as a connection to lift up the light of the world for those who think their life has to stay in darkness, when you have told us and assured us that it does not. For in the light, we become one again. In the light, miracles happen. In the light, we are made whole. In the light, we return to the perfection from which we were all created. Let us be there this day and remember that perfection from which we were created. We ask this from all the love you have given us through all the ages and all the ages to come. Amen. Amen. Your blessing conveyance is complete. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Just be still in the arms of God. Don't think. Just receive and be the love that you are. I look forward to being with you again next week. And in the meantime, Merry Christmas. Bye-bye for now.